Vimbo, vimbo mfana.
Wena bamba
vimbo.
Vimba, la minzo vimba.
Vimbo mfana.
One of the countries most definitely in the news these days is South Africa. And that's mainly because this is a football-crazy world we live in. And very, very soon, South Africa will host the 2010 World Football Championships. Yes, I know that's not everybody's cup of tea. And yes, I know there are a lot of other more important or more urgent issues that deserve attention. But let's face it, it really is the chance to shine the light on a nation that's trying hard to show its best side. It's preparing to hopefully welcome hundreds of thousands of football fans, and even the bishops of Southern Africa are doing their bit in preparing the ground for an event that has charged up the economy, provided jobs and revenue, and promises to bring the beauty and the potential of the nation to world attention. A nation that has undergone momentous change in the last 15 years, since the demise of the hateful apartheid system and the birth of democracy. However, the challenges faced today by the government, the church and the people are many. First and foremost, probably, the widespread poverty. I jumped at the chance to talk about some of them with someone who dropped into the radio the other day after having attended an important meeting. He is Jesuit Father David Smolira.
Well, I'm the regional superior of South Africa. I've been superior there for 2 years now. And my work as regional superior is, there are only 24 Jesuits in South Africa, so not a large number of people, but nevertheless involved in a variety of different works there.
Father Smolira offered to explain exactly what he and his brother Jesuits in South Africa do.
We're really only in two locations now in South Africa, in Johannesburg and in Cape Town, two communities in Johannesburg and one in Cape Town. We have three university chaplaincies, we have three parishes, and in addition to that, we have the Jesuit Institute, which is based in Johannesburg, and the real focus of that is to try and encourage dialogue between the church and civic society. We do a number of other things. We do some teaching, we do some adult education, lay formation, a lot of spirituality work, training of spiritual directors. But what we try and do in all of those very different works is to try and come at it as holistically as possible from a variety of different perspectives, theology, philosophy, psychology, economics, and so on. But in all of the work that we try and do, trying to encourage people to engage in dialogue.
In the past 15 years, things have changed a lot with problems coming to the forefront and other things being ironed out. What would you say are your major challenges at this particular time?
Well, first of all, as you can tell from my accent, I'm not South African, so I've only been in South Africa for the last 3 years. So I'm coming in very much as a newcomer and as an outsider. So I'm not sure that in a way I'm the best person to comment on a lot of that more recent history and the very dramatic changes that the country's experienced. I think from my perspective, one of the key challenges that South Africa faces is the whole issue of how does a rapidly developing liberal democracy take account of, respect and integrate the various value systems that have been part of its heritage, including the value system, obviously, from my perspective, the value system of Christianity and of the Catholic Church. And I think that what's going on in South Africa at the moment politically is partly that struggle of how to allow religious values and a religious perspective to be incorporated into the developing political, economic, social life of South Africa, without it being something that's imposed on others.
I had the Archbishop of Johannesburg in during the Synod, actually, in October, and he said something very strong. He said, "We have lost our moral high ground." You were referring to what's going on in South Africa at the moment.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that statement?
I think what it's true to say is that the church has lost its voice to a large extent. I think When the apartheid regime was in operation, the church was very strong in its opposition to that and had a very strong social justice message. And I think since 1994, at least from what people tell me, the church has somewhat lost, not just the Catholic Church, but the Anglican Church and others as well, I think has somewhat lost its voice. And I think now, where we are facing a number of challenges in South Africa, I think that we are trying again to be able to speak out and to be able to speak for justice and to speak for development and speak for progress. But I think we are to some extent compromised. I think our position has been damaged.
When you speak of a number of challenges, I imagine you refer to criminality, to an increase in corruption at a political level, maybe a loss of a moral stand on part of your politicians.
I mean, I think those are certainly challenges that we face, but I think there are others too. There's an awful lot of people had an awful lot of hope from 1994 about the future. And though I think the government has done a lot in terms of addressing a lot of socio-economic challenges, I think there are huge challenges that remain in terms of housing, in terms of education, in terms of rebuilding some of the infrastructure in South Africa to improve the quality of lives of the majority of the population. And I think a lot of people are somewhat disappointed with the high hopes, maybe unrealistic hopes that they had, and how to manage those hopes now in the light of progress, undoubtedly, but maybe not as much progress as they had hoped for. So I think there's quite a lot of disappointment, probably even disillusionment. And I think some of the tensions that have been present in the country recently are sort of an added dimension of disappointment that I think many people struggle with.
You were saying earlier that there aren't really many Jesuits in South Africa. Mm. Do you foresee an increase in the Jesuit presence there?
I would love there to be more Jesuits in South Africa. There's certainly, at least from my perspective, there's plenty of work for us to be doing, and we could do an awful lot more if we had more men. It's very difficult to see where those men would come from. I've been here in Rome having a meeting with the other major superiors from Africa, looking at how to develop the mission and the ministry of the Society of Jesus in Africa. And one of the things that I was saying was that at the moment, vocations in South Africa, there are not many people coming forward, certainly to religious life and not to the Society of Jesus. And so I was asking for help from other provinces in Africa to send a relatively small number of people to help us, partly to help us in our work, but also partly to help us to recruit young men from South Africa to join the society and help us in our work there in the service of the church.
Did you get a positive response?
Yes, I think I got a positive response in principle. The difficulty is that the society all over Africa is really still quite young. A lot of men in formation, a number of provinces, very good, very impressive young men, but also huge demands in their own countries. And so provincials have got responsibilities, obviously, to use their men locally in the service of the local church there, but also a growing sense among the provincials of solidarity for the society throughout Africa. So I'm optimistic about being able to get at least a few men from other provinces and regions in Africa to come down and help us in our work.
Also because South Africa is such a vast territory and very diverse as well.
It is a big country with quite a big population, quite a small number of Catholics relative to the overall population. But as I said a few minutes ago, we're only in two places in South Africa at the moment. And obviously we need to be, if we can, more widely spread and to be able to better serve people there.
Would you say Africans are religious people, aren't they?
Oh, yes. I think there's a very strong religious sensitivity in African people. And certainly in South Africa, religious practice is not the exception, but the norm.
Mm-hmm.
And a religious sensitivity, not just a religious practice, but a religious sensitivity. So, yes, I think both culturally and religiously, there's an enormous treasure house there. And something that people are not afraid to talk about. I mean, coming from Britain, religion is almost an embarrassment to many people, and it's not something to talk about and not something to be open about in ordinary conversation and in your workplace. And that's very different in Africa, certainly in South Africa, certainly in my experience in South Africa. But there are challenges there too. As I said, this whole issue about how you develop a liberal democracy and yet still have those religious values, those religious traditions incorporated in a way that adds value to society, but doesn't impose in ways that are counterproductive or divide people,
right,
and cause division and increase the challenges of the whole movement of reconciliation that obviously still still needs to be at work in South Africa.
Or even deny or ignore the heritage, the very particular heritage of the people who have lived there for millions of years.
Absolutely.
Which is rich in spirituality as well.
Yes, yes.
In warmth, yeah. In the desire to communicate. I find South Africans very, very open people.
Yes, oh yes, very, very open, very willing to listen and very willing to engage in dialogue. It's a very... honestly, it's a sort of very refreshing place to be.
At that point, I was smiling when I asked Father Zmolira whether he's optimistic.
Yes, I think I can honestly say that I am. I think it would be foolhardy to minimise the challenges that South Africa faces over the next 10, 15 years. But I am optimistic. I think there's an awful lot of energy, there's a lot of enthusiasm, there's a lot of hope. And there's a lot of reliance on God. And that sense of hope and that sense of optimism and that recognition that somehow God is at work in us and in society, I think, how can it leave us anything but optimistic? But we have to cooperate with the work of the Spirit, all of us, and I think that presents us with big challenges. We have to be able to talk. We have to be able to really dialogue and explore together and find ways forward. And I think there's a very unfortunate history that we have to overcome as well. And that has its challenges too. So challenges, yes, but I'm very optimistic.
Now, there's one question I can't not ask you.
Okay.
And it's the lead up to the World Cup in June and July. And
yes.
The whole world is talking about it.
Yeah.
The Southern African Bishops Conference has a special section dedicated to it. I think it's called The Church on the Ball.
On the Ball, yeah.
And Cardinal mm-hmm. Napier has had quite a lot to say about it. What are the feelings of the people in your experience in this run-up?
I think people are really looking forward to it. Obviously, there's been a huge amount of work that's been going on, building up stadia and improving the infrastructure and all those sorts of things. I think from what everybody's saying, we're ready or near enough ready for that. And there's obviously a lot of enthusiasm and excitement. I think there's some disappointment on the part of some that many of the Africans, not just South Africans, but prices and costs of travel and costs of tickets and so on, mean that many people who would perhaps we would have hoped could have been able to be there may not be able to be there. And that's a bit of a disappointment. But yes, there's a great enthusiasm, maybe more enthusiasm than is warranted perhaps with the Bafana Bafana team. But
yes, I'm not going to ask you who you're rooting for.
We still have high hopes.